mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth and even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. After the disciples that Jesus sent the disciples of John the Baptist sent to talk to Jesus, "Are you the one?" And they went back, and John was actually beheaded. But Jesus turned to the multitudes then and began his ministry. You know what he said? "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come." The kingdom of God has come and is continuing to come and will continue to come as long as we're here. The kingdom of God, you can live the kingdom of God in this life. In Ephesians or Galatians somewhere, Paul says, was talking about these different things, and he said, if you do these things, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't talking about going to heaven. He was talking about you wouldn't enjoy the life of the kingdom on earth. If you have issues, if you have unforgiveness or whatever, and things I talked about last time I was here, you're not going to experience peace, righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness brings peace. Peace brings joy. And so that which is not in the kingdom is not going to be pleasant, not going to be peaceful. So some of those things I talked about, like unforgiveness and guilt and you name it, deadly emotions, those things will keep us out of the kingdom here on earth. And so we can bring the kingdom with us as we come. I brought the kingdom with me this morning. Each of you did too, I hope, because we carry the kingdom with us. We take the kingdom with us when we go on vacation, when we go to work, when we do what we do. And that's what I'm getting to. The point I'm making here with the church is that we are the expression on earth people see of Jesus Christ. Righteousness brings peace, and peace brings joy. Once we see the kingdom, we begin to realize, and I don't know if you've ever heard the expression, but it's called the upside down kingdom. What did we read earlier about that John the Baptist was the least of all? Paul said the greatest among you is the servant. The world says, get what you can. The word says, give what you can. The world says, hate your enemy. The word says, love your enemy. The world teaches selfishness. The kingdom teaches selflessness. The church's only position in this world should be Jesus. And now I'm going to talk a little bit about more practical things here, maybe in a way. We are in such a divisive culture. And the very nature of it causes us to take sides or want to take sides. But we don't have a side except his side. If you're upset with things that you hear on the news, don't listen to the news. I told you that last time I was here. Put the good things in. I don't care what they say. I want to know what you say, Lord, about this. I want your peace in this. When Joshua was by Jericho, he looked up one day and he saw this man holding a sword in his hand. And he looked up and he said, are you for us or for our adversaries? The man said, no, I come as the commander of the army of the Lord. Jesus is above the fracas. God doesn't take sides. He is the side. So we need to control our thought life. We need to remember what we put in our minds should be positive. If we want to hear the Lord, we've got to have our minds open to the Lord. If you want to hear a prophetic word, if you want to hear God speak to you, you've got to put yourself in a position in that frame of mind to hear him, to receive him. A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, wrote a short email that he sent out a while back. I want to read to you because this probably is the best way to finish what I want to say about the prophetic church. We are the prophetic church. We have the word of God. We're going forth. Many years ago, I heard a man speak, and I believe he has a prophetic motivation as well as a great teacher. But he said, in the end days, he said, be all these kingdoms. And as they fall, one other kingdom will emerge. Guess what kingdom that is? We don't have anything to be fearful of the future. Getting back to this email, he writes, avoid the angry uproar and be still before God. There is far too much anger and uproar among the nations. This is not pleasing to the Lord. It doesn't matter to the Lord what is upsetting our spirits. Long ago, God once warned an angry group of his children, and I'm reading now from Psalm 75. At the time I have planned, I will bring justice against the wicked. When the earth quakes and its people live in turmoil, I'm the one who keeps its foundations firm. I warned the proud, stop your boasting. I told the wicked, don't raise your fists. Don't raise your fists in defiance at the heavens or speak with such arrogance. For no one on earth, from east or west, or even from the wilderness, should raise a defiant fist. It is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. God is at work among the nations, shaking all things that can be shaken. We find that in Hebrews. When he is dealing with arrogance and wickedness, we must stay out of the judge's chair and keep quiet before him. Parents never approve of their children inserting themselves in the disciplinary processes which other children are being dealt with when others are. We must be very careful lest we become like the wicked and the arrogant in our own anger and be caught by our father shaking our own fists in the air. That's not good, my covenant siblings. James 1 says, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. We need to be informed, but we need not to be captivated. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us for our anger, realize that he is in charge. And the older I get, the more I realize, the more I release to him, the more he's faithful. Situations happen, you have relationships in your families, maybe children or grandchildren or situations, and you're just, you don't know what to do. You've been praying for him, and you've been telling God what he should do, and nothing changes. Carrie and I had a situation like that a while back. One day we realized we just spoke to us, said, don't tell me what to do. Just give them to me. I'll take care of it. Funny how things worked out. But we're not used to that. We're not used to God stepping in and doing that. But we can trust God with the days ahead of us. We can trust that God is building his church. The church will be triumphant. The church is being prophetic. It's being drawn out, will be drawn out in God's timing and God's way. Sure, we've got political opinions. No doubt. But we have to remember in this world of fake news, what is true? There's only one that's true. And who is the author of lies? See, we call it fake news because we don't want to say they're lying. Isn't that the truth? How do we know it's true? There's been things I've read on the position, political position I lean toward. And I thought, oh, that just makes me furious. And then I got thinking about it, I thought, well, that doesn't sound right. Went back and looked it up, and it wasn't right. Both sides do it. I'm not saying both sides are the same, but they do both do it. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters that our spirits would call them out to hear your voice and walk in your ways afresh in our lives. That the world would hold no charm for them or for us. I want to close this morning reading to you from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. In all that we're talking about today, about the prophetic, and I've just given you a thumbnail of, as I told Mark, I said, well, I'll study 6 months and then I'll come and teach on prophecy again. Well, he said, you got 6 days. Well, I'm thinking, I don't know which end to start on. And so this is just a touch of what God wants to say. But I think in the midst of talking about prophecy, God's talking about building the church. That's what it's about. It's not that you can say, well, I can speak in tongues and I can prophesy. I haven't heard too many people say, well, I can go empty the garbage. But still, is it something that needs to be done? What have you been called to? The ministry of helps is just as critical as any. And let me just say one other thing while I'm going all kinds of rabbit trails today. I learned one time how to do the work of an apostle. You know how I learned how I could do the work of an apostle? By doing an apostle's job. That is, drove his car, mowed his lawn, I served him, I set him free to do his gift. When I set him free to do his gift, it's just like I was doing it. Because otherwise he'd be mowing his lawn instead of being before the Lord. And that's what happened in the book of Acts when they got deacons. So these widows are not being taken care of. And I'm going to say something now I'll probably get in a lot of trouble for, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's on my mind. The only thing that I know the people of God ever voted on was deacons. I'll just leave it at that. God sets in the church his gifts and his ministries. He sets them in order that he likes, that he wants. And if we will understand the will of God, understand the faithfulness of God, understand what he's doing in our midst, to building and edifying and growing us up, then, as I said in the beginning, it doesn't matter what your title is. In fact, titles can be a real deterrent sometimes. Harry and I, when we were very young in the Lord, went to a meeting. Women's Glow brought in a prophet, Don Morrison, a man that we've known since the mid-70s. And he called Terry and I up. He didn't know us. He called us up and prophesied. Said that some things. Well, after he said those things, I had people coming up to me wanting to have me function in that gift that I didn't know I had till 15 minutes ago. You understand? And so I started just, okay, I'll keep that in the back of my mind. One day, that will be recognized if that's the case. You don't have to tell somebody your gift. They should be able to see it, or will in time. And so, getting back to the closing, it's all about building the church up and blessing God and what he wants to do in the earth. Ephesians 1, verse 15, therefore I also, after I hear of your faith, and this is a prayer I pray for you today, after I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. Pastor Mark.
You still do that lawn mowing thing, Joe? Just asking. For that, I trust that your spirit has been able to today. Belt Community Church, at least the one that I'm associated with, is not content to be where God has been, but to where God is going. And that's your place to say amen. Wonderful to know where God has been, but to know where God is and where he's going, because that's where that presence of the Lord is where he is. For 30 years, Pastor Harry, in several different ways, has been overseeing this fellowship as a stand-up pastor, as a sit-in-the-back watcher, as a prayer, as an elder, as all these things.